Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night tonight, oh man, it's going to be an awesome show. We have the Mike and Mike show to start everything off. Mike Richter from Chicks Flying Bovine just took another grand, and Mike Davis from A Lot of Bull just took his 86th grand in his career. Unbelievable. Hell of a milestone. We're going to have so many grands on here tonight, we're going to be starting to call the million show. We got so many grands. We're going to have Donnie Bray from One Kind of Pork Chops going to be on, him and Rob Marion later on, talk about the great cook-off in Clarksville, Tennessee with the Wounded Warrior program. Awesome cook-off. Everybody needs to get up and do that. Donnie won another grand this past weekend. And, of course, yours truly, Jim Berger here at Killy B's, went up to Apex, North Carolina. An awesome event. I'm going to tell you, people, they know how to put a contest together. Graham was great. Great power. They have sinks for every two teams that's up there. You share a sink and everything. They've got water and that goes down to a septic system, which is great. Just all around great contest, man. I mean, my hat's off to Graham and the whole city of Apex, North Carolina, putting on a great show. They rolled out the red carpet for the cookers. The prizes were very well worth the drive up there. The hospitality was set. Really second to none. They really know how to take care of the cookers. They You know, like I said, the whole town came out. Great places to eat in town, a small town, but man, I tell you what, it was Mayberry on steroids. It was a great, great setting, great town. I can't say enough about it. It was just a great contest, and I will definitely be back next year. I want to thank my sponsors, though, Southern Cute Smokers, with Scott Smith and Tim Thomas. They built one hell of a smoker, people. If you have not heard of them or anything, you need to go online, find them. Southern Cute Smokers, great, great smokers. Also, I want to thank Royal Oak Charcoal. Couldn't do it without you. One of my first sponsors, Mike Shore up there, doing a great job, and I really, really love cooking with your product. Also want to thank Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Bo Haney, for sponsoring me this year and taking the chance. Jeff from Wicked Q Barbecue Products really has upped my game, and he's a really great person to have sponsor you. Has great products, and he's a great cook himself. Also want to thank Phoenix Printing and Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. And also a friend of mine, David Bosca from Butcher Barbecue, for setting me up with the products that helped me set me up to win these contests. Great, great people, great products I use, and just couldn't do it without them. Just overall, just the whole conglomeration of cooperation between everybody, and just putting it together and just doing what we love to do. Love to cook, and love to win, too. It's always great. Like I said, we have a loaded show tonight. You know, like I said, hopefully Mike Richter will be calling in here shortly. He just took another grand. He's a great guy. Cooked against him several times, and cooks on the Jambo. And then we have Mike Davis from Lotta Bull, which we'll be seeing him in, I believe, 2 weeks up in Greenwood, South Carolina. Great contest. I mean, he comes all the way over from Oklahoma to cook in it. Loves the contest. It's a big field, 75 pro teams, 20 backyard teams. And that's another great event in South Carolina, is the Festival of Discovery. It's a cool town. It's a mid-sized town. You consider it a city. But they have a downtown authority, and they put on, like I said, another heck of a show. They're going to be closing Main Street down this year for the cookers. They've got a lot of great places to eat, a lot of great places to shop. It's nice to go up on Thursday, get out Friday morning, go walk the town a little bit. And just a great, great setting. Like I said, they really roll out the red carpet for you up there, too. If you haven't cooked up there yet, you need to. It's a great contest. We've enjoyed the last 4 years, I believe. So a lot of tough competition up in that area. So you better put your big boy pants on and tighten them, because it's going to be a rough ride, man. It's a hell of a contest. I also want to talk about this contest up in Clarksville, Tennessee, that Donnie won this past weekend, and Tenacious Q took a reserve grand. Another Georgia-based team. Congratulations to both of those guys. But it's a cook-off where you get to cook with the Wounded Warrior. They think it's a treat to cook with you, but I'll have Rob and Donnie on here. I'm gonna bet you this the other way around. I'm gonna bet you they're gonna say they were honored to cook with a Wounded Warrior at this contest, and it's just a great feeling and everything for them. One other note, up there in Apex, all the teams that I know of cooked extra pork for. It's a Wounded Warrior project up in Apex for people coming back from overseas, wounded and stuff, needing handicapped houses and stuff. Big group of us helped the city of Apex with by preparing a lot of pulled pork to sell so they could build more houses for these wounded warriors that are coming back from overseas. And it was a great honor to do that for them. I don't know of any team that did not cook anything for them. It was a great turnout, great participation. And it's the least we can do to get these people in these housing and everything, and show them a little, you know, a little respect for what they put their life on the line for us, so we can keep on doing what we like to do. So it's a small token of appreciation for them sacrificing their lives for this great country. What else do we have on board? Want to congratulate BS, not BS. The Budmeisters down in Florida. They were in Ashburn this past weekend at the I-75 cook-off. I know Robbie Royal from Rescue Smokers had a big hand in it. And I want to put big congratulations out to them for having a great show. My boy Tanner was down there this past weekend, and he took third place overall. He had some really good calls and everything, and enjoyed the contest. So I try to make this again this next year. If anybody's got a chance, it's a really well-run contest. No further ado, we have our first guest on the line. And I believe this is Mike Richter from Chick Swine Bovine.
Yes, it is, bud.
How you doing, Mike? Haven't seen you in a little while, buddy.
I'm doing well. Enjoying life.
There you go, living the dream, right?
That's it. That's it. Can't complain at all.
So, I guess you had a pretty good cook. We always do a little bio of what people cook on everything. I know what you cook on, a nice, pretty little rig. Tell everybody, when you got started and all this other stuff, and I know you give some classes every now and then. Let's plug Mike Richter for a little bit.
Okay, well, we cook on a Jambo. It was one of the first production models that Jamie made. I think it was 2007 that he made it, and we bought it from a good friend who had pushed me for years to go to a class. We started in 2002, and we did our first contest was in Bel Air, Maryland, and then the next year we did Salisbury, and we do two or three a year. We had four of us, and we go have fun, and one contest, one would cook one meat, one contest, and somebody else would cook that meat. And there just wasn't any consistency, but there were lots of tasty beverages. And finally, I listened to Tuffy and took a class. And actually, what really pushed us really hard into it, we watched Mike and Debbie on that Kingsford competition that they won back in, I don't know, 2006, I think, 2006, somewhere around in there. And I drove down and cooked solo in Shelby just so I could meet them. And, Mike stays focused. Debbie comes outside, and she was a smoker then, so she'd come outside. It was cold. My chicken brine froze. I was cooking on my 84 out of a pop-up. It was cold, let me tell you. And I'm packing up. I look like the Beverly Hillbillies. I got so much stuff sticking on the side of the Lang and in the back of my pickup truck. And finally I saw, Mike outside, and they had won the contest. And I wasn't going to drive that far and not go meet him. And so I went over, and Debbie must have already told him, and so we just couldn't have asked for a nicer person than what he was to me, and Debbie also. But we had already signed up to take his and Debbie's class, and it was their techniques class, and we learned their techniques. We learned boxes. I mean, keep in mind, this was really before the internet took hold and you could go in there and see all this stuff. It was, a lot of that was kept very confidential. And we learned so much from them and got our first grand the next year. And we've been chasing it hard ever since.
Well, I know I got to see you a few times down here in the South last year, and, we were up in Shelby and everything, but, you've been around for a little while, and I never really knew the connection between you and Mike. I just put it together, and, y'all posting out there on Facebook today how great it is you talk to an old friend and all that stuff, because I guess other than, maybe one or two contests out of the year, your paths don't cross all that much, but, I know y'all keep it. Go ahead.
We do keep in touch, and it doesn't cross as much as I believe either one of us would like. But like the end of the year in Demopolis, one of the attractions for going down there is that's like the last chance to get to see, you know, a lot of my southern friends before we head down south the next year and do that southern swing, where that southern swing I get to spend the whole time with Mike and Debbie and Wild Bunch and Barry Johnson and, you know, a lot of my friends from down south.
Yeah, I just met the Wild Bunch actually up in Lincoln. We took reserve up there, and then they were cooking by us and trying. And I met him in Lincoln, and you know, got to talk with John and them, and then the trying. You know, we kind of hung out a little bit and everything. Great people. I just never, you know, met them before. And you know, we have a bunch of Georgia friends, North Carolina friends, and a few friends from Tennessee and some from South Carolina. You know, you kind of, when you go to certain areas to these contests, you kind of, you know, like to see your friends and stuff when you go there. And
right, and like you said, I mean, they tend to keep to themselves. They do a lot of the contests, of course, down through Alabama and stuff. They've got a home down there and up through Tennessee. But you're not going to find any nicer people than John and Kathy.
They're great.
It's barbecue, you know, people. That's just it. The barbecue community is tops.
I'll agree with you there. I've got a lot of friends that I do a lot of stuff with, but I'll be honest with you. I think some of the barbecue community is tighter than family in some instances. And, you know, when you hear people having trouble on the interstate or whatever, there's no less than three or four people that are willing to drop what they're doing to come out and help you and, you know, at least get you off the road and everything. And I just find it overwhelming, you know, and I do the same thing. You know, you don't think about it, but I do the same thing if somebody came through here and something happened and I was available and, you know, even if I wasn't available, I would figure some way out to help them out. And, you know, it's just great. I mean, it's all over the country. And like I said, it's one big, huge family.
It is. And, you know, another, since Mike's going to be on the radio show, I'll give another plug for Mike. You may remember going down to Shelby last year. You know, I burned up another hub on that cooker. And
yep.
I've got a repairman coming. He's already been there. He's out looking, and it's been gone for a few hours trying to find a hub to fit this axle. And it's not like it's a texture axle. It's fairly common. And I posted on Facebook. Well, Mike calls me, Mike Davis, he's out west, and calls me and tells me that there is a hub for me waiting, and it's like 5 miles from where I am. He found it. He called him. They had it. I called the guy. He's on his way. He said, "I'm almost to your exit." I said, "Don't stop," because he had bought me a new tire, a new hub and everything else, so I'd have to change the whole thing. New rim, the whole deal. And I said, "Going down there is waiting on the counter for you. It's already paid for." Because after Mike, you know, called me, I called them and told them, I said, the guy will be close to 5 o'clock because when they were going to close. And I, you know, I gave him my credit card number and paid for it. And, you know, so he went on down and picked it up. But, I mean, that's the, you know, that's the barbecue community. I had several people that were trying to help me find one, and I was just inside South Carolina at the Flying J, and here Mike finds it, and he's, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Well, like I said, that just shows you the barbecue community and everything. I mean, everybody's pretty tight. You know, Bubba last year, you know, Blue Buzz, their truck gave out on going up to Kansas. He drove an hour one way to go pick their rig up because he was one of the few that had a fifth wheel connection and
right.
Brought their rig up to contest so they could compete. And then I think, was it Wild Bunch Butt Burners that came up or Joe B's and Blazing Butts came up? I think it's Joe B's Blazing Butts came up and hung out with them on Saturday and took them back, you know, home the next week, you know, hooked that trailer up, took them all the way back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, Joe, Joby's, you know, they cooked the Hammond contest down there, too, because we stayed at a state park in between Hammond and Slidell, and they also stayed state park this year. I mean, that's a great trip that I get to do every year, and once again, it's the barbecue community. We're staying at a campground, and everybody's just chilling and relaxing, eating good food, living large.
Now, I'll tell you what, man, it's great. You know, we're kind of newbies at this. We started this is our third full year doing this, and you know, we're meeting new and, you know, great friends like you and Mike Davis and all them out on the road people. You know, you've been reading about for years, and you know, my wife's one that's you know, I try not to bother people when they're at a cook or whatever. You know, certain times you can go talk to them. And my wife's very outgoing about going to meet somebody if she wants to go meet them or whatever. And she'll ask me, is it a good time? I said, well, right now it's a pretty good time. Nobody's really doing anything. You know, you take in consideration everybody's different time schedules. And
right.
She can knock on the door. She's not afraid. You know, we met Rob and Sean from Munching Hogs at Hilton that way. You know, and they're great to be around. You know, we're not going to get to see them much this year, but... But, you know, that's the type of person, you know, that she is. And, you know, we love meeting new people and seeing new experiences. And, you know, just hanging out and, you know, just find out the array of what people do is just unbelievable. What they used to do in the past life and what they do now. It's just it's amazing how you figure, well, how the hell did you get into barbecue? If you're this or you're that, you know, what clicked in your brain saying, hey, I like doing this?
Right. Well, you mentioned another great, you know, Munching Hogs. It's not on the Hilton anymore, but Rob's in the process. You know, he's not doing a lot of comedy. He's getting ready to open a restaurant out there in Kansas City. And, you know, he worked for years for Hilton.
Yep.
I mean, he's a chef. But
right.
I got to get a decent flight. I got out to Kansas City early for the banquet last year, and you know, I gave him a call, and he comes by, picks me up, and shows me a couple locations that he's looking at, and we went to have a couple tasty beverages, and we just, I mean, they're just great people all over, everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rod Gray's out that way, and Truba's not too far from there, and I mean, they just, you know, it's really my honor to be doing this show because I get to interact with all you grand champions and everything over the years. And it kind of gets to where, you know, I kind of know you before I even meet you type thing. So I pretty much got your personality figured out and everything else. So it's, you know, it's not intimidating to meet y'all. I mean, everybody's just down to earth. I mean, to me, my first few years of cooking, you know, you see all these big teams coming in and you feel very intimidated. And I guess two years ago up at Shelby, we took third overall. And you and Tuffy and, everybody was up there. Sir Griller, everybody, Mike, everybody was up there. And, you know, that was probably, to me, what really kick-started everything for us. Because it just let us know, hey, you know, we can hang with these guys, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a big confidence boost.
Yeah, it's just like the NFL, any given, only with us, it's any given Saturday. I mean, like you said, with the amount of classes out there, you know, I took several. I mean, one of the best advice I ever got was what Duffy told me to, you know, to take classes and learn stuff. And, you know, like you said, I've got down to where I'm doing what I'm doing, and I am doing more and more classes. I tend to normally do private classes, you know, either at a contest or I go to the person or they come to me, depending on where I am. And it's something about it. I mean, I've had good success, you know. I was given a private class in Pensacola when we won the GC down there. A couple weeks ago up in Upper Marlboro, I chased that contest for years. I've done all but one of them, and did a class there this year and got my best finish, got a reserve. But it's a close. It's only 40 minutes away. You know, it's a close contest.
Yeah. But I've made a goal. You know, a lot of I know y'all. You try to set goals every year of what you want to try to do. I mean, you're not going to win all of them, but you got a few that you're, especially doing this long, you've gotten real close to winning them. I mean, that's one that's kind of on your radar. And for me, this year was Moss Hog. It was just real sentimental. That was the first one we ever did. And then the next one I wanted to win was Banjo-BQ, which was right out my back door. And,
right.
I mean, it's less than a mile from my house. And it was just phenomenal for me to win both of them in the same year. And,
yeah, without a doubt.
And so we picked up one in between those two in Gainesville. And so now we just picked up one this past weekend. We picked up two reserves and a fifth in Trine. So I need two more to make it to the Jack without having to worry about the draw. So that's my next goal. You know, everybody kind of sets goals as they go. And, you know, pretty much if I didn't win another one this year, I'm ecstatic about where we're at. And
Well, you don't have 10 contests yet.
No, I've got nine.
Right?
Yeah, I've got nine, and we just moved into 10th overall.
Right. So, I mean, you still got a contest to add in there. So, you know, things are nothing but looking up for you, you know?
Well, that's why, yeah, I've talked to several, like Jeff from Wiki Q and a couple other people, you know, Scott from Q and Stew and the Bruin and Barry Johnson, you know, a good friend of yours, I know. You know, me and Scott and Barry all cook on Southern Q Smokers. Me and Barry actually cook on the limo model. And, you know, and Jeff cooks on the stumps, and he said, well, you know, if I was in the position you're in, I'd have to quit doing my SBNs and my SCBAs and just stick strictly with KCBS and, you know, ride it and see where you come out in a year. Because he said, you're having one hell of a stretch. And,
yeah, I don't disagree with that philosophy. And,
you know,
those limos are good cookers. I talked a buddy of mine who just went down and picked one up from Scott. He got it last Wednesday. I think he got home Thursday and ran one fire in it, and he got two calls in it on the first cook on it this past weekend. He got a pork and brisket call. If I get away from the stick burner, that's probably what I'm going to end up with, something like Bob Roberts got.
Yep.
Now he's put on a stumps on that little trailer. But
right.
You know, Scott could make me a trailer and mount that on the back. And, you know, I go to bed early. I like to stay focused. So I go to bed and get up and watch my fire and pay attention to what I'm doing and try to stay focused. Where if I was able to use something like the Southern Q limo, where I could, you know, you could use it for a lot more than just a competition, because your competition meets aren't going to even come close to filling this limo. So I'd be able to do the potluck dinners and all the other stuff, because normally I'm in bed by the time everybody's eating the potluck dinners.
Yeah, see, that's a good thing, because usually right when I'll crank mine up about 7 o'clock, and I let it get hot for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'll put my meat on about 9 o'clock, my big meat. You know, I'll spread some about 10:30 if I go to bed that late, and I won't get up till 5 o'clock. I get up 5 o'clock, they're ready to wrap. I crank it up. I start them off at 2:30, and I crank them up 2:40, 2:45. Put my ribs on around 7:30. The big meat should be just about done with the night already done, and you know, then I bump it up to 2:50 for my ribs, and then at 9:30 when I put my chicken on, I'm wrapping my ribs. And I bump it up to 2:60 to finish my ribs up, cook my chicken. And it's like clockwork now. And you mentioned Bob Roberts. He actually ran my boxes this past weekend up in Apex. And he's helped me with my chicken and my ribs. And he's really, really on me about the pork. You know, I'm trying to help him with the pork. We've been very successful in pork last 20-25 contests. And that contest in Trine was the first contest in 23 contests I was out of top 10 in pork.
Wow.
So, and I only had three of those that I was out of the top five. So,
Bob being there.
Well, Bob was in Trine, so I was trying to help him there, but, you know, trying with 98 teams, it was a crapshoot anyway. But out there in Apex, he kind of stayed right there by my hip. And we got third and fourth. And the surprising thing with that, but they had so many new judges, it really started to worry me. You know, because one table captain that we knew, she said she had three new judges on her table. And, you know, with pork, you know, if you have some new teams coming in, they could have a lighter fluid taste to it, or they could have really over-smoked, and then they get to yours, they can't taste anything. That's what I'm worried about, you know, with new judges and stuff. But we came through with third and pork up there, and, you know, I was tickled to death. Bob's going around telling everybody before I could even get outside the trailer that I already won the damn contest. And so all y'all fight for a second. I said, what do you say that for? He goes, I want to talk to Andrew from Smokehouse Mafia, and he's like, Bob's already said you won it. That's why he said you had a really strong cook, and he'll tell you this day, because, man, that cook Jim had was strong, man. It was very consistent and very good. And
Bob knows it's good food. He's a hell of a cook.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Coming from Bob, I take that as one of the highest compliments because, you know, I was really worried about my ribs not getting done. He said, man, you pull them off and glaze them and got them ready. And he said, man, they were dead-ass perfect. He said, we took the first two and they were really good. And I said, let's just try the other two just, you know, for giggles. And we pulled the other two off and they were the same, but they were better than the first two. And he said, I put those other two in there. I said, you got it. And we got second in the ribs. He goes, you should win first with those ribs. So he was dead on. And
Rack, you got to cut four racks and taste them. If you cook two briskets, you got to cut both of them and taste them. Don't leave the best stuff still in the cooker.
Well, that's what he said. He said, you don't know, those other two could be a hell of a lot better than these. So, but, you know, it was good to have his mentality in there and the confidence that he had in the cook and everything. So I was really happy to have him. Of course, I didn't make him walk very far. He only had to walk across a little alleyway. So I could just by hand walk. Yeah. He'd come back, you know, in about 30 seconds. I said, what are you? You a jackrabbit or something? He goes, man, I'm running. You tell me to run your boxes, I'm running them.
So, was Belinda able to come at all?
Yeah, she was there. She was staying down there with the Blue Bloods. This was their last cook for a little while up around this area. So, she was hanging on there, and I was in my little trailer, I mean, 6x12. Between me and Bob, you couldn't really fit anybody else in that little trailer. And but she was hanging out with Celeste and David and stuff, and that's when they really came over. Bob just came over to kind of help me out. And, you know, I had so many teams that had four or five people on the team saying, you cook this by yourself? I said, yeah. They said, that's just phenomenal in itself. And I said, there's a lot of teams out there that do it. I said, ain't my first rodeo. I said, it's just got to be, you know, consistent and have everything in order and, you know, just be dead on. Know your times, know your cooker and everything. I said, it's not nothing you can do in the beginning, you know, and be really successful. It's just you got to get everything down pat and your system down and, you know, then it comes like clockwork. But we got another.
I think it helps you. I mean,
we got a hat.
Too many cooks mess it up.
Yeah. Well, we got a hackler on the line from, I think it's from Oklahoma number or something.
There it
I don't know who he is. He keeps crashing the party.
That's what happens when you let your guard down.
I know, you sneak in the back door. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing well. We're just having a good old time. We're ready for, we had the mic show. Now we're going to have the Mike and Mike show. And Barry Johnson texted me earlier and said, you know, you should have thought about this Mike and Mike show a long time ago. He said, all I can say is hold on.
yeah, I was just sitting listening to y'all, so y'all go ahead.
Well, I was just going to congratulate you, if I'm not mistaken, your 86th Grand Championship.
Yeah, thank you.
That is un-freaking believable, man. That's just, I don't know. I told Janice that one day when I grew up, I'm going to be like him.
I've been saying that.
He said, by the time you win the well, Grand Championship, you'll be 145, so.
Yeah.
it'll take us that long, that's for sure. But I've been telling Mike, you know, for years, of course, he jokes that when did he adopt me, because, you know, I call him I was telling Barry earlier today, you know, if when I have problems with the motorhome, I call Mike. Let alone with my country.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
We fix a lot of stuff on the phone, don't we, Mike?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And it is much appreciated.
Yeah.
Is that considered a long distance relationship?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it might be. I don't know.
Well, sometimes it's not that long distance. You know, I was telling you about how he helped us out so many times. I blew a tire when I was doing that Southern Swing. I couldn't find tires, and we're in Pensacola. Mike comes, knocks on the coach door, hands me a piece of paper, and says, "This guy's got tires for you, but you got to go get them there in Jackson, Mississippi."
He had an odd size he couldn't find anywhere. It just pays to know people, I guess. pays to have friends all over the country.
So, Mike, how was your, I guess your cookers doing quite well now. I know you switched over to cookers this past year.
We switched over to the R&O. We've been using it this year. We like it. You know, we kind of cooked a little closer to home this year and not got out quite so far for the most part. Kind of enjoying the grandkids a little more, and we got some stuff going on at home here that we need to take care of, so it's kind of worked out good. Kind of trying to get back in the Oklahoma taste buds, if you will, you know, because we spent so long not cooking here that it's kind of hard to come back and hit it again. Of course, I think some of that's changed. I heard y'all talking about new judges a while ago, and, you know, I'm not so sure that has a lot to do with it, but I know it is considerable. It has a lot to do with it, more so in just the scoring that you see out there. But I'm not going to get off on that at all. But we've enjoyed the time we've had at home this year, and we're fixing to make a little 5-week run out and then back home. So we're looking forward to that too.
I get to see you in about 3 weeks, don't I?
Yeah, Greenwood.
Yep.
We're gonna go over to Smoking on the Pecos, and then Pork and Brew at Rio Rancho, and then come home for a day or two, and head to Greenwood, do that one, then up into Indiana, and then back down to Cleveland, Tennessee, I think.
Oh, that's you see a lot of the country that way, don't you?
Yeah, more than you want sometimes, but. Yeah.
Now, do you notice flavor profiles changing from one area to another, or is it subtle?
You know, I used to say that you never change flavor profiles, but you know, I think you kind of have to do. I think you got to tweak some stuff nowadays. I don't think you can still run the same stuff constantly like you used to do. I think a lot of those flavors got found out, and I think they kind of got run in the ground, and I think they're looking for something different. You know, not totally different, but I think there's some tweaking that's got to happen now that you didn't have to do, you know, say 5 years ago. You could run the same recipes all over the country, and it would do you right. But like I say, some of those flavors have leaked out, and I think they just got used up, just to be quite honest with you. I think they got too identifiable, you know. I think they just got tired of them.
Yeah, I think the judges just got overwhelmed with tasting the same stuff over and over and over and over. I don't think they want you to get totally away from it, but like I said, I think if you tweak it and put your own little spin on it, not that you're going to change a whole lot, but kind of disguise it. I think.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing, and it's been going pretty well. So
you've done well. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we were I always tell people, I said, even Blind Hog can fire an acorn every now and then, and everybody's like, well, where's that tree you're at? I want to get under it too.
They're out there. They're kind of hard to find, but they're out there.
You got that right. But But it'd be good to see you up here in Greenwood. Like I said, I hadn't seen you in a while, and I know you know, I missed you up at Banjo BBQ and stuff this year, and
right.
But so it's I get to see the other Mike. What about 3 or 4 contests, Mike? I know you do Shelby and
Shelby.
Did Greer last?
I'm not going to do Greer this year. I actually had the entry from the banquet and gave it to the last year's GCs. So Smokehouse Mafia is definitely coming back. The because that's the same weekend we're going to do the Sam's Club in Richmond that weekend.
That's right. What happened to that contest that was up on, y'all were talking all about last year on Labor Day weekend, that people went out fishing and all that stuff up there, in, was it Maryland or Virginia or somewhere?
It was Maryland, East Landing. We're hoping to get it back next year. I don't know exactly what happened. My theory is it was held at a marina, and it's the last big weekend of the year, and I think the folks that had their yachts and stuff, I mean, it's a pretty affluent area. And here's all these barbecues out there taking up parking lot areas where they would park and their friends would park. And they had to walk farther to – and I think the people that pay the slip fees might complain a little bit. The organizers looking for a location close to there and hoping to be back next year. But it was – one of the best contests around.
I mean, there's a lot of us from down south looking at that. You know, us rednecks, we like to fish. It don't matter what for. But, and, you know, there's always going to be some beer around.
I had Jeremy convinced to come up. I think Roger with Pickin' Porkers was going to come up. I mean, it's great. You get in on Thursday, you go fishing on charter boats on Friday. They have the first couple of years, Friday night, a cash bar and hors d'oeuvres that they furnished, you know, steamed shrimp and crab dip and all kinds of stuff. Then they had breakfast on Saturday when you started to cook. Again on Sunday, they had a dinner on Saturday night. I mean, they went all out for the teams.
Yeah, that sounds like one hell of a contest up there. And I was even looking at it because, you know, they closed Myrtle Beach this year as far as KCBS did. And, you know, I was saying, well, if I made a long trip, that'd be one that'd be worth it. And just go up and spend, you know, 3 or 4 days up there. So,
right. I mean, it was gorgeous. We're hoping it's going to be back next year. Because it was nice and it was close, too. That was another benefit of it. But it was close. For up here, it's close to the southern hospitality that you get down south with the contest, whether it's Hammond or wherever it is. You know, Cleveland, Tennessee, Mike, isn't that the place they put on that huge breakfast on Saturday morning?
Yeah, Wumper Sausage sponsored that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that you get fruit and Danish and donuts and stuff up around here and coffee. But you don't get to throw down breakfast like those ladies serve in Cleveland. Coming around, you didn't get enough to eat here and putting more stuff on your plate. You know?
Yeah, that sounds like down at the Boss Hog, those girls down there do a hell of a job. And all the ladies in town, I mean, you go through the line and they'll have 3 or 4 different kinds of grits, 2 or 3 different kinds of bacon, sausage, 3 different kinds of eggs, all during the night. Cook night and stuff. They have drinks and sodas and stuff sitting out in the guy that owns Mr. Golf Carts opens up his whole office area, and they have showers and of course restrooms inside and everything there too. But I mean, they'll have homemade cookies, brownies, cakes, snacks. I mean, you just grab what you want and go back to your site. They have donuts starting at like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's a contest where you know, if you go to contests a lot of times like me, I'll eat breakfast and I don't eat anything until damn near after awards, you know, because you're so high up from doing this stuff. But down there, if you don't gain weight, they get mad. So, and they're like, here, eat some more. I'm like, I can't even walk as I am. I said, but now they put a class back down there, and you know, y'all have y'all's favorites that y'all go to, you know, and I know Mike's got some out in the Midwest and stuff that are some of his favorites. What are some of your can't miss contests out that way?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I don't know. I've got so many that I really like. I guess the one that sticks out the most is probably the Royal. You know, people say, well, yeah, I guess that'd be mine too. But, you know, it's not for that reason. It's because that's where you get to see everybody that you may not get to see but once a year, you know. So the first time I ever went to the Royal, I didn't qualify for the invitation. I said I'd never go back again unless I did, but I would. You know, I'd definitely go back. It's just the one-in-a-lifetime thing to do. It's kind of like going to the Jack. I'd take the Royal over the Jack any day. That's just a personal preference. But, you know, there's just so many contests out here anymore that treat you every way but right. I mean, every way but wrong. You know, they just do bend over backwards and go to extreme lengths to make sure that you're taken care of, just kind of like the contest y'all are talking about over there. One of the favorite ones we like to do is Sevierville, Tennessee, and of course this year we didn't get to do it because some things come up, but you know, Sevierville's always a good contest for us to do. And of course we make the down south run early in the year, go down and do, of course, the Mobile is gone this year for 2014, but you know, you go down and do Pensacola, you do Hammond, you know, those contests down there. Just, you know, Hammond's going into its 11th year now, next year, and I don't think it has any signs of slowing down. I know the wait list, there's people that paid before this contest because they couldn't get in this year, paid for next year just so they could get on the list. So, But there's just a lot of contests out there, you know. It draws in guys from the Northeast down there. Which you can't really do anything about them. Most of them are pretty good, but, you know.
Speaking of that southern swing down there, Mike, Ivan is going to move his date.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
He's going to take over Mobile's date.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to get another one to fill in a spot down there so it kind of make it. Try to make it a 4 or 5 contest run again.
Well, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
When you do it,
you know, a lot of the bigger teams like y'all that are retired, some are retired, or you know, like say you got your motorhomes and stuff, and you can take off for that long. That makes it really nice because I know Bob and Linda Roberts they go down there that time. They didn't this year, but they'll be back next year doing it. And they just love, you know, like I said, they get to see people they only see once or twice a year down there. They spend like, you know, a good vacation down there, and they have a really good time. They love seeing all y'all. And
the bad part is you end up gaining about 20 pounds. You got to leave because you can't get in the door of the motorhome, you know. Man, the food is just so rich down there. Golly, I couldn't live there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try it one of these days.
Yeah. I'll tell
you already start
ain't living there.
You already start clogging before you even eat it, huh?
Yeah. When you walk in the door. If you don't have the pacemaker,
all you gotta do is inhale the smell and you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But
you know, Mike's talking about the Royal, and you know, I talked to some people up here that they're going to get to go the first year and first time in their life. Say, well, you got to go because one, it's like no other contest. But one of the reasons Mike Davis likes it out there, he damn near owns that contest.
No,
he likes it every other year. He's won it, so he didn't win it last year, so this year he's going to win it.
I wish you're right.
He'll be in the running. I guarantee that.
We're pretty fortunate. Lord has blessed us very well with that contest.
So see, when he comes over this way, we screw up his flavor profile for the American Royale. That's why he's not making many runs around this way. That's all it is. He's aiming for that one. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think you'd get a little smarter after, you know, you get a little older. I'm a little slow, but I finally get it. So.
Well, like I tell people, you can always tell a redneck, you just can't tell them much.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
But also, I mean, now y'all been doing this for several years. Like I said, I'm still kind of wet behind the ears, but... a contest now, I mean, even in my short time, a lot of contests that are getting bigger are the ones that really take care of the cooks. The prize money doesn't have to be super, but, you know, it is attractive. But do y'all see more and more contests taking better care of the cooks? Or,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, 10 years ago, you could... 10, 12 years ago, you really didn't have a lot of contests to choose from. It was kind of an organizer's game, if you will. You know, hey, I got a contest here, you know, and this is the way we're going to do you. And if you don't like it, don't come back. No big deal. You know, I'll get somebody else to fill that slot. Well, but now with the amount of contests that are out there, you know, when you got 15 contests around the country on a given weekend in the summertime, it's a cook's choice now. It's not the organizer. So the organizers kind of had to step up, and a lot of them have done a very, very good job in doing that and taking care of the cooks. They listened. Then they took the feedback, and they listened to what the cook said. And I, in part, I give that credit to reps that are repping these contests because, you know, you got reps out there that I'll drive across the country to cook their contest because I know how it's run and I trust how it's run. And I got some that I wouldn't do that for, you know. But the good reps will give good influence and good information into the organizer. And if the organizer is smart, they'll take it to heart and make those changes to try to draw more cooks and keep cooks coming into the contest. And that's what makes the contest flourish. You know, if the cook has a good time, yeah, he's coming back. You know, is he going to drive past a $20,000 contest and go to a $10,000 contest? You'd be surprised.
Right.
It ain't all about the money.
Right.
That's
well,
right.
About years ago, there, you know, as recent as, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, you know, when we were chasing those silly points, you know, I was doing 12 hours home on Sunday, and now there's contests, you know, within a few hours drive, you know.
Right.
You know, we had one con, we had Bel Air, and then we got Salisbury in Maryland, and those were the only contests. You know, now we're up to like 9 contests just in the state of Maryland.
Right.
You know, so I can drive a couple hours. Virginia, same way. You know, there was a couple contests, and now, you know, there's 2 next weekend in Virginia on the same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 200 apart, but, you know, it's crazy. Of course, I'm driving to the farther one, you know.
Well, I think about
you're driving what?
I'm going to the one that's farther away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'll get to see Tommy and those folks.
I think another thing I'm seeing, too, is, you know, these people that want to organize these new contests are talking to some of the teams as far as, well, you know, which contest should I shadow or which one should I do this? So you got your favorites that you tell them, you know, in the general vicinity of who they need to shadow and stuff so they know how to take care of the cookers and stuff. And they're paying attention to that. And, you know, when the organizers start looking to the teams, because, you know, without the teams, they're not going to make it. And if they can draw some teams from another contest that, like you said, might have a little more money, but, you know, you hear how the teams are being taken care of at this other contest, you're like, you know, it makes your life a whole lot easier. You don't have to worry about anything.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, except you cook. So I'm thinking more and more organizers are really trying to entice the teams to come to their contest, so to speak, because, you know, they know if they draw some big teams, they're going to draw some big crowds. And, you know, all these are for charities and stuff. And, you know, that's the bottom line is, you know, how much money can we make for these charities?
Well, Jim, and there are so many of them. If the contest doesn't succeed, but as far as the community coming in and supporting it, you're not going to be able to have the contest. One of those reps that I'm pretty sure Mike would drive across the country to have rep, which I would too, made a statement several years ago that I talk about to the other teams, that, well, we're going to go downtown and go to the store. You need anything? Philip and Kathy Brazier, when you're downtown, and this should be for everybody that's listening, when you're at a contest, if you go to the grocery store, you go get gas, you go in and pay for it, you go get a pack of cigarettes, whatever you do, tell them you're here for the contest, you're spending money in the community. That person you're talking to may or may not be in a position to help sponsor that contest the next year. And, you know, throw some love towards the contest. I mean, that was one of the best things I've heard in a long time, to try to help organizers that way.
That's right.
You know, especially smaller towns, which I really love to see. Like, Apex was like Mayberry on steroids. You know, a small town, they had great eating places there. You know, it surprised me. You know, they didn't have a whole lot of chain stores there away from, you know, chain restaurants. They were a little further away from downtown, but downtown, it's those, you know, those old brick buildings with the black ceilings in them and real nice, heavy, thick oak bars and all that in them. And had some really awesome food in there. And I was just really shocked. I mean, they weren't but a block away from where we had the cook-off at. And, you know, we gave them reservations, told them we were there for this and this and this. They said, just name your time. And, you know, they kind of made a little exception for us because we had so many people. But, you know, they knew we were there for the cook-off. And this is only the second year they've had it. But it's just everybody that cooked in it last year was trying to get it back into it this year. You have to get in that contest like in February or March, and it's not till June. So, you know, that tells you right there. It's a really good contest. Great people. I mean, they probably had – we were on like a back street where the parking lots and stuff were, and they had a sink for every other team. So, you know, they had a sink set up in between the cook sites.
Wow.
So you didn't have – do it in your motorhome. They had the sinks there with water, and it went down into a septic system. They had a 50, a 30, and 220 amps at each one of the RV spots. You know, the city owns the power company over there, so they added – I was actually an add-on because they added six more teams this year, and they didn't have any power. They dropped the pole, ran power there on Friday morning, and had us power by 9, 10 o'clock on Friday.
Wow.
You know, just great service. I mean, he said next year there'll be sinks here. So, you know, and then they're going to open up to 46 teams next year. So it's
a
great contest.
That's the organizer and the people taking care of it. Last weekend, John Adkins at this Palmyra contest, there was an issue with one of the power poles. I was trying to use a cheater to get 50 amp for our coach because it was hot. You needed both air conditioners. Next thing I know, he's got the electrician over there. They're putting in a 50-amp plug for him. The guy went home and got it from his house to hook it up so I could have 50-amp service, which made my wife very happy, which you all know about a happy wife means a happy life.
Because as we know, mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's right.
Well, yeah, we're talking about contests. I think I've got another call. Y'all stay on, and I don't know if y'all know Rob Marion from Two Worthless Nuts. I think he's on there a lot.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a Buckeye.
Well, he was at Clarksville, Tennessee, doing, you know, the cook with the Wounded Warrior and stuff. And, you know, like I know Donnie Bray was up there and everything, and they're like, well, you know, they think it's a privilege to cook with us, but it's the other way around. It's a privilege for us to cook with them. And
right.
I've got two new callers on. Rob, are you 216?
Yeah, I'm the 216er.
Okay.
I'd also give him Pork Chop the number to call in also.
Does he have an 812 number?
Might be. I'm not sure.
Well, I got an 812 number. I'm going to bring them on, too, and see if this we got. 812-364.
That's me.
That's you. Okay, now we got everybody on here.
But now
there you go. You know, we're sitting here talking about contests and stuff, and I know Rob was trying to get me to come up to Clarksville, Tennessee, to cooking that one up there, just for the great cause it is. And, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about your contests and stuff, Rob? I know you do a lot with, you know, people coming back from overseas and dealing with issues that they have, and just being a stand-up guy and really taking care of the troops when they come back.
Oh, well, that's the trouble. I mean, my job is an honor. I mean, I'm happy every day that I go to work. I like to think that I make a little change somewhere in the world. But I tell you what, this weekend was, again, it was a great experience. It's one of those that I think I posted at one point a picture of me after about 36 hours or so with no sleep and 90 degrees and didn't stop smiling the whole time.
That's a great contest. Now, how does that work up there in Clarksville?
Last year, me and Kevin had talked about doing it when we saw that that you got a wounded warrior assigned with you. It's not raising funds for the National Wounded Warrior Foundation. It's doing it for the local one here at Fort Campbell, and so that they figured that the best way to, you know, sit there and mesh the two things together was to have, when you sign up, you're allowed to check a box to say if you want a wounded warrior or not. And, well, of course, you know, we'd like to have that experience. And so both years we've had the sergeant assigned to us that through some way of a deployment has suffered some sort of disability. And they're assigned to the Wounded Warrior Transition Battalion here at Fort Campbell, and it kind of, instead of just going straight from the hospital back to the unit, kind of gets them back to being ready to be a soldier within their unit. And, you know, we've been blessed with two soldiers that were just phenomenal guys this year. We actually got two soldiers this year instead of just one. And last year, the sergeant that we had, you know, it was just a great story, and to kind of build on those friendships. And, you know, it was kind of neat because they asked why. You know, that was the biggest thing is, you know, why you care about, you know, having somebody cook with you? And I was like, I don't care about having somebody cook with me. I'd rather have you cook with me. And it's just kind of to give a thank you. You know, that these guys, they put life, limb, and you know, mental health, spiritual health on the line all the time. And sometimes, you know, we forget to say thank you. And this was one way that, you know, we don't hide the fact that we raise money throughout the year to be able to give back to this cause, because I know me and Pork Chop are very passionate about it. And, you know, both of us have our reasons for doing it, but it's just one of those that we don't hide, that the money that we win goes back. And then we've had friends that co-sponsor us that will match our funds. We've had companies that will match our funds. And so, you know, we can roll. I think we won $350 this weekend, but you know, that $350 by the end can roll into be $6,000.
That's great. I really wish I could see more, you know, more areas like that. You know, we've got a big fort here in Augusta, and you know, it'd be nice to intertwine more of that with us, just to show the troops, you know, that we're behind them 100%. Any barbecue stop behind the troops.
That's one of the neat ones, and there's another one that somebody was telling me about in Tennessee. But you know, I've tried to contact other folks and kind of get them interested in. And it takes a lot of work, as you know, everybody knows, to organize a contest. Not everybody's willing to do it, but they have a great set of volunteers here. I mean, you don't need from the time that you get there. They take really good care of you. You get a dinner on Friday night. You get breakfast on Saturday morning. And you know, they're golden to you. So, I mean, it's one of those that I, you know, if you have any, you know, military background or you just want to do something different for the troops, you know, look into doing this contest, you know, and don't feel, you know, we didn't get noticed, and I'll go on my soapbox now. You know, there's some people last year, you know, if you saw the film of it, you know, all the teams were just lined up giving money back. And that was just not a dry eye in the house. But, you know, some teams felt obligated, and I don't want anybody to feel obligated to have to give back. But, you know, it was just one of those warm moments. It was a spontaneous moment that everybody just did it. And, you know, it's just giving back a little bit. You know, I mean, the amount of money that we dropped doing this one contest, I think we can all survive, you know, giving our winnings back. And it's just for giving to give, you know, with no expectation.
Well, they put their lives on the line for what we love to do and everything. And like I said, I think if every barbecue had a chance to do that logistically, I think they would. And, you know, I'd really like to see more and more of those around the country pop up. So, you
don't
know.
Don't tell my counterpart that, because we've started a new organization. Pork Chop, you get him invested in something that he's passionate about, and you let him run, and you never know what's going to happen next.
Yep. Well, there ain't no telling, right?
Well, so, last year, we had I didn't realize that the funds that was being raised was going to specifically Fort Campbell. And last year, I had a lot of donors give to the National Wounded Warrior Project in Kansas. So this year, it was kind of late. Some of them had already given to the national organization, but then I've got it clear now, and I've already started today for next year. It's something that my father was a wounded warrior from Korea. And I witnessed as a boy stuff that my dad struggled with, and he didn't have Wounded Warrior Project when he was trying to raise us kids. I would just see him, you know, in the back of the house, and you know, going through flashbacks. And it wasn't really until later on in life, right before he passed away, that actually the Wounded Warrior Project helped him get all of his skeletons, all of his nightmares out. And that's why I said, when Rob asked me last year to do this, I went both feet. I said, yeah. And this is something even my wife said before the contest this year. She said, Kevin, you need to do this for your father. You know, just your family. There's so many people that that knew my dad. And that's what one of his employers, I'm a building inspector in Louisville, Kentucky, and I went to do a building inspection for George, one of my dad's old bosses, and he was talking about, you know, memories of dad, and I told him what I was going to do. I said, I need to get your building inspected, because next week I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Fort Campbell cooking for the Wounded Warrior Project. Well, George gave me a significant donation, and I'm sure that, you know, George is going to add to that these following years. Yeah, it's like Rob said, I was shocked when they asked us not to give the money back until the end of the contest, because someone was offended. And yeah, I'll step on your soapbox too, Rob. I don't want anybody to think they're pressured into giving money. I mean, if your conscience is clear with that, then, you know, so be it. Keep it in your pocket. Because I don't think any of these Wounded Warriors would want it anyway. Hell, I'll give everything I got to them for the country that we're living in, and all the sacrifices they had. The biggest thing that I love is after the contest, just talking to them, Daniel and his wife Michelle, just talking to them about the things that the Wounded Warrior Project does on post, not just this week during that contest, but throughout the year, all the benefits that this little organization does for them on post. And my hat's off to them.
Well, like I said, I know it's a great contest, and Rob talks really highly about it. And I'm, you know, Rob, I know it's dear and dear to your heart and everything. And you know, I can speak. Mike Davis had to get offline. He had to go do something with his grandkids and stuff. And he said thanks for having him on and everything. But I know, Mike, you live up in Maryland and stuff, and I know there's a lot of forts and bases up there. Do you have anything like that going on up around Maryland or anything? Or
not to the extent like they had in Clarksville. Chris Hall, Big Ugly, which I think we talked about last time, he was part of a thing that started several years ago. Now, these soldiers that he was part of cooking for and helping and had them actually, they were the judges. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a contest. It was all about, but these ladies and gentlemen were not going to go back into battle except life's battle. You know, double amputees, you know, that, you know, we're still trying to do it, paraplegics, and they would, it was a combination of, were like a fly fishing. It was put on with like the Isaac Walton League, and they would, you know, try to help them, you know, go fishing, and as well as, you know, they would help cook barbecue, and then they would judge barbecue, and but you know, for every soldier that was there, there was probably three or four healthcare people with them. Because I mean, it was, you know, the bus came, but there was more healthcare workers than there were wounded warriors because of the physical limitations that these soldiers had. And, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here. You know, we enjoy a lot of freedoms that people sacrifice everything for, and those that are able to come back, you know, for the first year for it, they were looking for a vendor, somebody to come up to, not a vendor, somebody, a caterer to come up and do it. And Chris was contacted about catering, and he asked, you know, well, what's it for? And he goes, well, I'll do it. And he goes, well, we haven't discussed price yet. He goes, there is no price. So, you know, he and his family went up and cooked all the food for everybody, you know, healthcare providers and everything, all on their own dime. And that speaks volumes, not only the barbecue community, but I'm very blessed that Chris is a friend of mine. I mean, and that is him and his family. So, yeah, the a little more specific to not in the national type thing. It's more dealing with the one-on-one with some soldiers that, you know, they need the one-on-one. So it's not a large deal to where, you know, there's 30 or 40 or 50 soldiers there. You know, there might be 6 to 12. But, you know, we have a lot around this area. Of course, you know, whether it's Aberdeen that's up the road, or Fort Meade's right here. Of course, you get into D.C. You know, we've got it all branches are right around where we are. And, you know, Hospital Walter Reed, you know, there are a lot of people around here, soldiers that can benefit from people helping them.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for them.
Like, go ahead.
I said it's good for them too to get out and you know, go into something they've never really been into, just something that's kind of relaxing, like what we do for the most part. But it's just a whole different experience for them, something they'd never really do, you know, before this. So I think it's really cool to get them involved in this, and hopefully some other organizers will catch wind and you know, start seeing more and more of these going on. And you know, like I said, even just helping local chapters of the Wounded Warrior programs and stuff, I think it's just great. I mean, just getting them involved in doing this.
Well, they we put them to work. I mean, you know, there's no free food and barbecue. But it was neat because, you know, people come in with their own ideas of, you know, what it is that they're getting into. And, you know, and they kind of went around the WTP and just said, you know, hey, would you be interested in going out and cooking with a barbecue team? And, you know, little do you know what you're getting into when you come out for that. But it was neat experience and just you kind of get to know the stories. And like I said, you know, my favorite is when, you know, I was sitting there, and after everything was all said and done, you know, we're kind of sitting there and just talking with some of the families and stuff, and they're like, well, you know, one was the why do you care, you know, because, you know, the news will sit there and say, well, the war is about over, and, you know, so it's time to move on to the next whatever crisis we're going to have. And, you know, so sometimes these guys are forgetting. I know, like, Big Guns Barbecue from up in New York, Sean, you know, he does a cook, I know, once a year. With West Point, I know he does a lot with the soldiers up that way. I mean, he's one that he'll drive 500 miles if it's something to do with soldiers. He's prior military, and I mean, I know that there. This past weekend, I think Corey from Fatbacks went up to Maryland somewhere and cooked for a bunch of wounded warriors. And I mean, so I mean, the barbecue community is perfect because I mean, it's the best hearted people that there are. You know, it's just getting the knowledge out there of what's going on, you know, how to help and how to become involved. And people pick up the ball from there and just run with it. I mean, you know, like I said, don't tell Kevin that you want to get something going because next thing you know, you've got a new sanctioning body and we've got, you know, 50 contests going on throughout the year, and that would, hell, I'd be happy.
Yeah, well, Corey did a great thing last weekend. 1,500 people he was feeding.
Wow. Yeah, he was, and he was excited about doing it. I saw him in LinkedIn, and I asked him if he was going to Apex. He goes, no. He said, I'm going up cooking for a bunch of the troops, and he said, I'm really looking forward to it. He said, it's what I can do to give back. He said, you know, I've been blessed, and he said, you know, hopefully if I can put some smiles on some of them guys' faces and stuff, he said, that's all well worth it to me. And like you said, it just shows you the heart and the compassion that barbecuers have, you know, and it's mainly for the country, you know. It's you know, we support our troops 110%, and whether a lot of people out there don't, but, you know, that's just kind of people we are.
And, yep.
You know, like, it's a big, tight family. That's all I can say.
It is. I mean, and to drive from North Carolina to Fort Belvoir, which is right outside D.C. I mean, that shows Corey's commitment. Corey's, like everybody else, is just good people. Hey, I want to congratulate you all, guys, on a great job. I've got an organizer that's been trying to call in that I'm trying to get things figured out for this weekend.
That's
so
awesome.
I wish you all the best. And
congratulations, Mike. And
yeah, Robert, I'll see you somewhere down the line. Are you going to cook Nelsonville?
I probably won't be in Nelsonville. I think I'm going to go up and cook Kettering and Xenia, though.
Well, I'm trying to figure out because my mom's been fussing. I got to do one of them there that's fairly close. So.
Well, if you find a way to Nelsonville, I'll find my way there, too.
All righty. All right. Well, you guys have a good one. Jim, thanks for having me, bud.
Appreciate you.
Hey, Mike. Great having you on, and you know, I'm sure we'll be talking to you on here before the end of the year again. And good luck your next contest, and congratulations again on another grand. And hopefully we'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, Jim. I hope so. Tell your wife we said hello.
I sure will. Take care. So, Rob, how many more contests you gonna be doing this year? You've been kind of on the radar, then off the radar, then on the radar. Everybody's kind of knowing. Trying to figure out what you're doing. We've heard stories of trying to open up a barbecue restaurant and, you know, then going for SEAL Team 6. And, you know, we just don't know what all's going on.
Well, it's just been a frustrating year. I kind of feel like the NASCAR driver that's got the old right-ranking car and, you know, tries to show up at the race. I had the trailer wreck, and when that happened, I was cooking on the Fast Eddie 120 because I was in the process of selling the Jambo, and so that ended up getting stolen from the trailer when I wrecked it. It got taken to the lot, so that was out, and so I was like, well, I'll just go up to the hell with it and get the Jambo and start cooking on that thing, and lo and behold, blew out the hub on that. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you sit there and say, all right, God, do you want me to barbecue or not? So I've missed a few contests that I really wanted to do this year, and but it's also given me time to just kind of kick back, relax. The unit that I'm working with here at Fort Gamble is I'm working with the Special Forces groups here, and it's a little bit different, and just trying to give them whatever services I can and enjoying that part. And so it's been kind of, I call this year just my write-off year. You know, we've been doing more fundraising barbecue contests and getting to have fun. And, I mean, like I said, you know, there's nobody that I'd rather be up with for 48 hours, unshowered, unclean with than Kevin. Because we just, you know, you'd have to come by the site to really see what fun barbecuing's about.
Yeah, I know you came in my trailer down there in Lawrence, and felt sorry for you. You didn't have your camper there, and you were out there in that 95-degree sun. And so asked Rob if you want to come over to get in some AC. So what he comes over and just lays in the middle of the floor. And I'm thinking you were drinking something, and my wife brought out her homemade pimento cheese with the red pepper jelly.
And then it was all over.
I was feeding him like a seal. He wouldn't even get up. And he was laying on the floor. Had judges come in there. Just step on me. I'm not moving. he did come in and cool off for a little while, for awards and everything. But it was just, you know, it's those moments like that that really make, you know, memories. And you sit back and laugh and joke about it. And but you also, in the meantime, helping somebody out, you know, whether it's cool off or whatever, you know. But you know, that was one of my fun days up there. You know, just hanging out and having a good time. And
I posted yesterday on a Chicks Lines post that said, you know, I just try to emulate what those before me had done because, you know, my caring nature, you know. You look at me and you see the tattoos and don't exactly think the most compassionate seller in the world. But those that brought me in barbecue and those that keep me coming around have set a standard. And I believe in holding up not only the integrity of what we do, but the compassion of what we do. You know, you sit there and am I to show up to a site and get wasted for the weekend? Well, no, that's not really why I'm there. You know, I enjoy cooking and I enjoy libation every once in a while, but, you know, and I'm not going to judge the team that shows up and does that, but that's not me. That's not who they brought me in to be. They brought me in with, you know, trying to show class and character, and those are things that I try to associate myself with. Cooking with Kevin, I mean, heck, you know, it's just fun. Sitting at 3 o'clock in the morning and just the conversations that you can have and the reflections, like I said, on why each of us are doing it and being able to go back and just share that experience, you can't pay for that. There's no amount of money that comes back to that. And you just kind of sit there and you're just grateful for the friendships that you have. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody's like, well, why aren't you cooking more with you and this? And I said, Kevin last year came and cooked with me in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, and then he came and cooked Wounded Warriors with me under my team name. So this year we just flipped it around. It's not about the team name. It's about what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, Smokehouse Mafia, he was with Big on the Pig, and I forgot what they named the team. And, you know, neither one of them really going for points. They just going over to have a good time. Big wanted – Andrew couldn't get in. He kind of wanted to cook, and so him and Melissa drove over and – you know, Andrew hung over there Big on a Pig, and Melissa was over there at Blue Buzz with, you know, Bob and Belinda, and then Bob comes over and runs my boxes and stuff for me. And, you know, it says a lot when somebody of Bob's caliber comes over there and runs your boxes. It just you know, it just says something about you, you know, that, you know, he would do something like that for you. So
you put up your containers first, didn't you?
Do what?
I said you put up your containers first, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, all unmarked. all my talkers were done. All this was done. Nah, he's really helped me with chicken and ribs this year. And he said pork has been killing him. And I've been nailing pork pretty well lately. So he came over. I kind of showed him what I did and all this other stuff. And, he's pretty pleased with what he saw. And you know, he's going to do a couple practice cuts before Greenwood. And he'll probably go up there and kick my butt again. But I did this past year. I made a couple deals with some friends of mine. They were having trouble either in brisket or pork. And, you know, I was really strong in those. And I got some help with chicken and ribs. And it made me a whole lot better cook using not just one but two of their techniques or flavor profiles and mixing them together and coming out with a great product. Now, neither one of them know what I use, but, I do use two different teams, different things on chicken, and it's really been hit. So, it's those type things, too, that people are willing to give up, you know, recipe for another recipe to see how you do. And, you know, if somebody's tanking in something, and, you know, you kind of want to help them a little bit. But, I'm not out there winning a lot of firsts. I'm getting a lot of top five calls, and, you know, I like those grands. I need two more. So
that is, you go. That's Donnie. I mean, Donnie, you know, I'm almost hate to see him show up anywhere I go. And because Donnie, I mean, he's not going to knock out four firsts. But at the end of the day, you're hearing, you know, Warren County Pork Choppers. And you know, he's such a nice fellow that you can't begrudge him. But, you know, damn, he's out there and it's just learning how to cook consistent.
Well, he's gone to a new cooker, too, which has really helped. You know, I went to a new cooker, and it's kind of funny because I got some grands and some SBNs over the past 8 months. And every time I got a grand, I was cooking on a brand-new Southern Q. Hadn't even been cooked on yet. And so I sold my other one off the trailer. And it was like every time I got a new smoker, I won grands. But the one I got on the back of my trailer right now has got four grands. We did a stretch of seven contests. In a row, we had four grands. We had two reserves and a fifth place finish. And the fifth place finish was over 98. So
not a bad run.
No, it's not. We're glad we got a 3 week reprieve now. But you know, it was but I was geared up for it. You know, I was determined, and Jan went the most of them with me. She didn't go to the last one because it was a little too far for her. But, she'll be going there next year. Because I told her what a nice town that was over there and just a great setting. And, that's going to probably become one of my favorite contests just because of the way they take care of the cooks.
Yep.
Graham had studied. I know you've probably been to Rocky Mount a couple times. He studied under those people. And, for a couple of years, actually, before he even brought it to Apex. And now that he's on top of the city council and stuff, I mean, it's a win-win situation. And, you know, they probably had 12,000 to 14,000 people on Main Street in Apex. And, I mean, they closed like a mile of Main Street down. It was impressive how many vendors and stuff were up there. So,
wow.
It just shows you, you know, a community like that, it really comes out. Supports the contest is somewhere I want to be cooking every year. You know, it's just going to get better. And, but Graham did his homework. You know, I was a little apprehensive at first, but I'll tell you what, if you needed something, they had it. They kept a electrician on site the whole time we were there. If anybody had any problems, you know exactly where he was at. I mean, it just shows you the care they gave us. So, it's just phenomenal, them being in their second year and having that kind of support. So it was really great to see. And so now, where are you out of? Where are you out of now? Are you up in Ohio?
Right now, I'm contracting at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It's kind of the Tennessee-Kentucky border, about 44 miles north of Nashville. I'll be here until the 27th of January, and then I'll take some time and look and see if I've got the money saved up to dive into the restaurant, go that route, or, you know, if I want to do another rotation or kind of get off the gypsy life for a while and start working for somebody on a more permanent basis as far as, like, the VA or something. It's just kind of up in the air, and no big plans on doing any major changes yet, but I've enjoyed cooking Tennessee and Kentucky area. A lot of really good teams, friendly, welcoming you in, you know, spend a lot of good time with them. Everywhere I've been, I mean, you know, there's always a bad seat here and there, but, I mean, for the most part, you know, it's been just like anywhere else where it's just like, hey, Rob, come on in and you're welcome. And so I'm enjoying cooking around here right now. And a little bit different, but in the end of the day, you know, you just put the food in a box and turn it in and sit down and have a beverage.
There you go. Now, speaking of the devil, I think Donnie is on the other line. Is this you, Donnie?
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
You've been doing damn good is what I've seen.
Well, it I'm trying really hard and changed a lot of things to try to see, you know, just if I had anything else to add to this hobby.
You're adding to it. But since, you know, you can't be medics, Donnie, because you're a class act throughout. I mean, you're not hiding out in your trailer. You know, you're interacting with everybody. You put on one hell of a cook every Friday night that I've been around you. You know, and it's just good to see good people doing good things and winning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a type guy. Being a hillbilly in Kentucky, I don't ever want anybody mad at me for any reason. And there's good camaraderie in this hobby, and that's one of the reasons why that I've stuck with it. And I definitely don't ever want to step on anybody's toes at a competition.
Well, I got to say this one thing. The first time I met Donnie face-to-face was in Hendersonville, Tennessee last year at the Sam's Regionals. And, Rob, you're going to get a kick out of this. I look down there and hear a pig squealing. I look over
yep.
And Donnie's – I didn't know it was Donnie's pet pig at first, but his pig was over there at Pack Smokes up underneath the grill. And Donnie was trying to get it. I was like, you're pork fresh.
Yeah, she went straight out of the door of the motorhome, and I looked over there and I said, look, they got a pig just like mine. Oh, man, that is my pig.
Well, that's one of your secrets. I'm going out to get a pot belly.
It ain't above her to eat pork, I'm here to tell you.
Donnie said, I couldn't let anything happen to that pig. That'd be into my life.
Donnie, yeah,
kind of funny crawling up under the grill trying to get that pig. I'm like, good Lord, that's fresh pork right there.
The pig's not mine. It's my daughter. So I was, I was the babysitter that wasn't watching well.
Yeah, you only had six people in there. You were babysitter on watch or something.
Yes.
Well, you've changed a lot from last year with what you're cooking on and everything, didn't you?
I did. You know, I feel like that last year, I guess what really pushed me is because I was in the top 25 last year, and I got to go to the awards, and I'd never been to Kansas City, and the things that I got to experience going out there, and when I got there, myself and my wife, we got hooked up with Scott and his wife, Q and Stewing and Brewing, and we had such a wonderful time. The deal that they do with everybody swapping the contest or buying the contest for the draw, and I mean, I just got hooked so bad. And I said right then, I'd really love to go back. And what can I do to change? What could I? How can I do any better? And I I pretty much felt like it, that so many times last year I got to the 5-yard line and I dropped the ball. And I couldn't close a deal. And even though I felt like I had a great year, I did it totally without a chicken call. I don't even think I even got one last year. And so myself and Jackie Price, which my best friend in the whole barbecue deal, we made a pact to be able to work together and come up with some kind of a plan on chicken. And I think he did most of the work. I'm sorry?
Is it Jackie's
47-step
chicken?
Yeah, Jackie's probably cooked more chicken than all of us put together. He practiced chicken all the time, and he helped me a lot, and that's one stand-up man, I'm here to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I was saying earlier, you know, I made a few deals with some friends of mine, and you know, it's kind of hard, especially with the level of competition you have out there with all the people taking different schools and stuff, for just one team just to kind of stay on top with what they know. You know, it's nice to have a, you know, 2 or 3 team group that you can kind of share some info on, different categories and stuff, kind of keep you all up on the top. And I'm not saying they're you know, you're going to make like one big, you know, Hendrick sports team or whatever, but you know, it's good to count on some friends and stuff. You know, if like you say, you hadn't had a chicken call. I'm sure there's something you helped him with. So, I mean, it's good to be able to trade recipes with some teams to up both your games.
I don't know. I think I still owe him more than – I don't feel like I've helped him as much as he helped me. Just this last weekend, he brought something else to the table that worked really well. And I don't know. I got some things that I do that I'm I don't know if they'd work for anybody else, and I don't want to mess nobody up, but I owe him. I got to bring something up for him.
a room and tickets to the banquet.
Yeah, definitely. Well, he's coming right along too.
That was one of those things, is chicken I've been hitting on, and I get the chicken call, and it's like, wait a minute, who was that that got called up above me? Wait, oh, God, I'm starting to get chicken calls now. That's when I knew everybody was in trouble.
I actually, one of the other things is just to get more comfortable. I think that as we, I think as I first started, I've been in barbecue for 30 years, not competition barbecue, but it seems like what I think it's sort of won and lost right there as you're building the box, and just to try to stay calm. And you know, I'd build boxes when I started, and I wouldn't even remember what they looked like, or you know, just try to, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time, shut the thing and go. And I just added a little more time to it and slow down and think and get more comfortable. And that's why I had that trailer built, and of course the backwoods cookers are just unreal. After you fought a offset stick cooker for 30 years and actually love it and enjoy doing it, then you pick up something like that. And the only reason I did it was just, if you only cooked on one cooker, you don't never know what you're leaving under the table. I think that cooker was built 30 years ago by my cousin Steve, that was way before its time. It's just, I put it up against just about anything if you're trying to do fire management, but backwood sort of takes some of that work out.
Yeah.
So to get to your point, you want to work smarter, not harder. And, you know, that's why you're seeing just a rash of gravity feeds and the jambos, even for stick burners, but you still have to do the fire management on those. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, getting your rest and everything so you can concentrate next morning on, you know, your tasks at hand and everything. So that's when the real work begins. But you still got your big meats you got to get done at that time. So, you know, if you're not sitting up all night worrying about your big meats, then you can kind of concentrate on what you got, you know, a 5 or 6 hour, you know, work day ahead of you to get everything in. So makes life a lot easier. I know it does for me, so.
Well, that was one of the things as far as the old old Tom, well, I took a Rod Gray class, and I still I feel like that. I took one, and I didn't feel like I need any more. The man gave such good information. But his 275, old Tom didn't like it. I couldn't hold him down there, but he liked 290, so I just set my whole world at 290, and when I switched over into backwoods, I stayed at that temperature, and that's giving me good sleep. You know, I get up at 2:30 and put meat on at 3, and then I go back to bed until 6, basically. So I get good sleep and actually comfortable. One of the big things for me is I really like watching country music videos. So I got me a TV. I sit there and I'm either looking at a smoker or I'm looking at a country music video, and that seems to just keep me calm.
Well, you know,
I'm arguing that that was floating off.
What's that?
I said, I'm busy writing all this down. Slow down.
Well, it's still a long year, so I'm still pushing really, really hard. It's still frustrating. It seemed like every competition, every group of judges, the meat this year, the pork, and I bet you any time how many money muscles that I thought would be really good, and I go to cut them and they fall in 8 or 10 pieces. It's like 9 muscles that make one the size of a quarter, you know, and you can't see that when you pick them out, and all that's just so frustrating.
Yeah, you know, it's getting back to Rod Gray. You know, I took his class a couple of years ago, and the one thing that really stood out about him was not only his recipes, but how methodical he was in everything that he did. You know, his whole trap schedule, his setup schedule, the whole 9 yards. It's just impressive on how methodical and through the time and all this other stuff he was. And it just made you a lot more organized and, for a schedule. So, you know, that's the most thing. He gave some really good recipes, too, but that's the most thing that he gave you. Like you said, slow down, you know, take it one thing at a time, and you'll be fine. So
I don't think he's even cooked 10 competitions yet, so I look for him to be – I think he made a comment on one of the shows last year, the second half of the year separates the men from the boys, and I look for him to be coming through the pack really strong, because he's going to get his points fast, not having the 10 yet, and also now that Pitmasters is over, Tuffy, he'll come through the crowd like he's on fire.
Yeah, we've done 9 contests so far. So
You're doing just as good as Rod is. And when them points count, before you get to that 10, you make major jumps.
Yeah, well, that's what Scott and a few other guys are saying. So, you still got one more cook, and that's all gravy. So you need to get on up there. And I said, well, if I get a good cook now, then, I've got 2 5s and a 7 I can get rid of. And, just see how it goes the rest of the year. I know your first goal is probably the same as mine, is to make it into Jack without having to worry about a draw. And how much does that make for you for your draw? You got 6 now?
Yeah, all of that changes. You know, for me to sit out and say, look, I just want to be the best that I can be, and I want to, when I shut the door for the last time this season, I want to look back and say, look, I didn't leave nothing on the table. That's all Donnie's got. And be satisfied with myself, and then all of a sudden you get 6, and it's like, oh, I gotta have that 7th one, you know.
Exactly.
Now, you know, the automatic. So it's, I guess, greed takes over or something. But I'd hate to get that far and not experience that. You know, I know 2 or 3 years ago I looked down, and still right now, if I looked at, you pull it up online after they had the draw to Jack, and you see these automatics, you're like, those people are so special. You know, that's like the Pope, you know. How could you ever get to that? How could you ever get to that level? And so this could be just another one of those deals I can't close like I did last year.
I think you're well on your way. Like I said, I've got five. I need two more, and I know it's going to be close for me, or you know, anything short of a miracle for me to make it. But you know, I told Jan, I said, you know, I'm going to try, and I'm not going to make it for not trying. And you know, we've been blessed like you, and had some really good cooks against some really strong fields and stuff, and. You know, it's like I think as Mike Davis was saying, he said, you know, Donnie's been very consistent. You know, we're not winning a lot of firsts, you know, compared to what we're doing. But, you know, we kind of come through at the end of the pack. You know, we're going to be up there at the end. And
I think it's like NASCAR. You keep doing the laps, you know, and that'll the points will come behind it.
Well, that's the way I look at it. You know, you just keep your, you know, your flow profile the same, and you're going to knock out a first here and there. Which is fine with me. I'm not one of those ones that can hit, you know, two firsts in a contest and try to win. If I hit two firsts in a contest, I got 230 firsts, you know. So if I can just keep what I'm cooking going and just, you know, try to get, you know, top 10 calls, I mean, I told my wife, that's all I can do. You know, if you get four top 10 calls, then chips fall where they may.
Well, you'll mess that up, you know, if you go to start trying to, oh, my chicken's pretty good. I need to change it. I need to get that first place. You'll start chasing that first place, and then you start messing up, and you won't get those four calls. And all you need is the four calls to get where you truly want to be anyway.
Well, that's what my flavor profile is right now. And I
just settle for, if they're working, just settle for it and try not to change, I think, is my... You know, the consistency is what usually pays off.
You know, I did have a team say, you know, we got some 8s and 9s and 10s and some of these, we need to change something. I said, why? I said, judging changes. I said, keep your same flavor profiles. I said, I'd rather get an 8th or 9th call than a, you know, 18th or 19th. I said, you know, if you're hitting in top 10, you don't need to change anything. And you got all these teams that, well, I can do better than that. And I said, well, I don't know. These fields now... Then they go the rest of the year and don't get another call. They say, well, I can't get back to where I was at. And I said, well, you shouldn't have changed in the first place. You know, it's just one of them deals. You know, I changed for the better beginning of the year, and it's been working out. So I'm going to hold true to what I'm cooking.
I try to listen a lot. And one of the things several years ago, I don't know if Mike Davis was talking to me at that time because he didn't know who it was, but I was listening to him and, looking up to him, seeing him on TV so many years ago, and he would tell him somebody, he said, you just keep, no matter what you're doing, you just keep doing it. If you have a bad day, you just throw that same ball next week. And you can't change to catch a judge because the judges all change every week. So you got to get something you're satisfied with it and just keep throwing it.
I think that's true. You know, I had a bad cook up in Cummins 2 years ago, and Rod Gray actually called me up and said, hey, he's just put that one, you know, it's tough because it was the last one of the year. And there was no redemption after that. And he's like, look, he said, you got to put it behind you and move on. He said, everybody has a bad cook every now and then. You know, he said, what separates a good cook from a bad cook is being able to accept what you got and move on and you know, and just, you know, try to do better. Everybody has a bad day. And, you know, so that's what I did. And it's been, you know, we've had some upsetting calls here and there this year. But, you know, it's just one of the things you just got to put it behind you. That the cook's over, the judging's over, and there's a contest next week. And, you know, I'm a big believer in karma. You know, if you do the right things, good things going to happen to you. And, you know, it's just the way I feel.
Well, it's something I ask God to come on my trailer every week and cook with me. So I think that, that's what it starts out in the morning. If you see me on the back of my trailer when it's time to start and the lights is off, I'm getting my team together.
Well, if you start without foundation, you ain't going to go wrong.
What's that?
Said if you start with that foundation in your trailer, you ain't going to go wrong.
Well, I don't think so. I, you know, and I've done that. My first grand at one, I said me a prayer to God just to make me the best that I possibly can be and give me the strength to see the problem. and that was in Nashville, Tennessee, and I won a grand, and I hadn't stopped since. I think that was a team member that I needed, and I think it's made me strong. I know I got a 21st call in Brisket in Jeffersonville, and you know, I definitely wasn't blaming that on God. I was blaming that on judges. You know, I felt like I did what I needed, but I think that my team did just fine. It just didn't work that time for the judges.
Yeah, the judges weren't believing in him. Yes.
Well, it's hard to please everybody all the time, but you know, I threw the same thing at it the next week, and you know, it didn't win that category, but it had a decent call, and I think you just consistency is really the only thing that you have going for you, because you're not gonna try 20 things and all of them work.
Well, that's true. You got so many teams out there changing stuff from one week to the next. You look at them like, well, keep on changing them because I know I'm going to be ahead of you at the end of the day, you know. And, you know, that's people you try to tell, look, don't change nothing. Just cook it two or three times and tweak it. No, I'm changing this, I'm changing it. All right, go ahead, you know. Or they're changing cookers, you know, three or four times during the year. You can't be, in my opinion, you can't be consistent when you do that. You know, you stick with what you came to the table with and, you know, work off of that. So, you know, it is what it is. I know you've been Mr. Consistency this year, and, you know, you're always at the top of the leaderboard. And like you said, you don't have to win a whole lot of firsts and stuff to be there. You just try to get your calls in, and at the end of the day, hopefully you'll be the last one called.
Oh, yeah, I think that anybody that has ups and downs, if you don't just keep throwing the same thing, you'll never know where you're at. You know, that any kind of recipe, I think Scott with Q and Stewart and Brewing told me that if you're gonna change anything, you better be willing to dedicate 3 to 5 contests for that recipe, you know, because you're going to have to see if it can average out at all. If you change something, do it once and get a bad call and then change again, you're just not ever, ever going to find where you're at.
Well, you'll never be able to catch it, you know. And then when you get that far away, you can't get back to where you're at. So, you know.
I got lost last year when I was trying to – I took these Backwoods with me and cook with my offset stick cooker and had them. And of course there, I've got 5 smokers on my trailer trying to use them all, you know, and I just couldn't make pork do anything. And, I just went back to my notes and boom, it started hitting a little bit. It wasn't nothing to brag about. And, you know, I told my team that, this year, if you see me stumbling around, acting stupid, you just tell me one thing. Just say, go back and look at your notes. Don't get lost. It's so easy to talk with your, you know, one of you, even somebody on your team, say, oh man, I don't like that. I don't like that. That's too sweet. You know, we're not eating it. We're giving it to the judges. If it worked once, try to get back on that program.
Yeah,
and so
we're not cooking for ourselves. We're cooking for a panel of judges. So.
Oh yeah, there's most of this that I if I was wanting a barbecue sandwich, I probably wouldn't do. I probably wouldn't want to pull it out of my box and put it on bread. You know, it's just not the direction that I want to eat. I'm a good old, I like that fall off the bone ribs too, baby backs, but I wouldn't put the baby backs or the fall off the bone in a box.
I was going to say the same thing. I like my ribs falling off the bone, and so do 95% of other people in the country.
Now, I just slip all the bones out and make a McRib sandwich out of it.
a McChopper sandwich. So, well, guys, we're fixing to have to get off here. I know, Donnie, you probably got some sponsors and stuff out there you want to give us all out, and, I guess you're going to be hanging around Kentucky and stuff in Tennessee for a while, or?
Well, I just filled all of my holes. I'd been invited to Dillard, Georgia, so I guess I'll be coming back down there. Try not to go over Mont Eagle no more than I have to. But we're going to be branching out a little bit. Ohio, the Kettering, I don't usually do well, but I'll go back up there this year. But I've been lucky. I've been lucky to have a lot of Kentucky and Tennessee ones. But yeah, I'd like to definitely say thanks to the barbecue superstores, Mark and the guys. You know, I think they're doing a great job. He just won a grand somewhere up north this weekend, and you know, they, no matter what, they get the product out there, cooks too, and you know, they work on our time frame, and I'm proud they offered to put a sticker on the side of my trailer.
That's great. Well, we'll and I'll see you in Hendersonville, Tennessee this year, and I'll see you up at Dillard too, because I'll be there. So, you know, looking forward to seeing you again. I know our paths don't cross that much, about once or twice a year, but like we're talking to Mike and Mike, you know, it's always good to see some friends and meet some new ones when you branch out and go do these other contests. And, you know, that's what it's all about for us, is, you know, just seeing the people, meeting them and having a good time and, you know, just talk BS around the fire or something.
Yeah.
But, Doc, glad you called in, buddy. I know a lot of people are keeping an eye on you. I think you're all second in the country right now. And, you know, I just thought I had a bullseye on my back, but I think yours is a little bit bigger than mine. So my hat's off to you. You've been cooking really well. And, you know, good luck to your next contest. And hopefully we'll see you not too far away.
Well, I'll be looking for you in Dillard. We'll, the Braziers, they usually try to find somewhere to go out and eat with them after on Saturday night. So maybe we'll get hooked up or something for a meal, break some bread.
Yeah, we go up to Franklin, Tennessee, right across the border. There's a cool little Italian/whatever restaurant right there in a gas station. It's really good. So
how far is that from the contest?
About 12 miles.
Oh, well, definitely, if you get something going, just holler at me.
Yeah, we
eat up. Eating's my pastime.
Bubba Q and Cyril Dealer and a bunch of ours. A bunch of people go up down Saturday night after contest, just kind of hang out. So, yeah, we'll definitely get you included. And, you know, Philip and Kathy, they're big UT fans like me. I think they're a little bit bigger than I am. But he always gets me there. But anyway, it was good talking to you, and good luck in your next contest. We'll see you in Dillard.
Thanks. Good talking to you.
Rob.
All right, definitely appreciate it very much, Wes.
Hey, Rob, I want to save you for last for any shout-outs and stuff. I know you do a lot of work with the military and everything, and my hat's off to you. And I know there's a lot of other barbecuers out there in the world that, you know, really admire you for what you do and everything, and you're good at it. So, you know, keep it up. But you got any shout-outs you want to give before we have to get off the air?
Yeah, Tia from Strew cooked us up this past weekend, and you know, she was sent us out a couple of briskets and was able to help take care of us there, and they were going to match that our winnings. And I mean, I don't have Kevin has a big list of the companies and stuff that have stepped in, but I mean, it's just thanking everybody for their support, because you know, I mean, I'm not out here this year chasing the points because I'm not going to cook that much, but you know, it's the support of the barbecuers and you know, the little notes that I get, and it's appreciated. Like I said, there's not a better class of people that I choose to hang out with, and if it wasn't for folks like that, this wouldn't be possible.
Like I said, you just do, like I said, you're just, I admire you for what you do. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's great for what you do for you know, the country and for the soldiers and stuff. And, you know, like Corey, what he did, I mean, it just shows you the class of people that were hanging around. So, you know, my hat's off to you, brother, and hopefully we'll see you before too long.
Oh, we will. We will cross paths here somewhere soon.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling in and letting everybody know. And hopefully we can have some more of these events going on and get some feedback. But good luck and be safe, and we'll look for you down the road.
All right. Good luck, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Talk to you later.
All right.
So that will pretty much conclude the show. We've had one hell of a show with Mike Richter on and Mike Davis. I want to thank them for being on the show. It's not very often you get that caliber of team on here. Also, Donnie from Warren County Pork Chop here, number two in the country right now. And then Rob Marin from Two Worthless Nuts and his buddy coming on there doing all the work and stuff with these soldiers and stuff. Just great, great. You know, work that they do. And so we're gonna hang up here in just a little bit. I want to thank Barbecue Superstars for having me on to do this show. I also want to thank Southern Q Smokers, Butcher Barbecue, Wicked Q, who else? Laurel Oak Charcoal, definitely. Phoenix Printing, Fireside Outdoor Kitchens Grills. I want to thank every one of you at Big Daddy's Bar and Grill for helping me do what we do, and we really love it. So with that big farewell, thanks for all my guests for calling in. I really appreciate it, and we had a great show and look forward to seeing you down the trail. From Killer Bees, be safe.